The Survival Guide to Life, a podcast about how to win in life every second, physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, consistently.
Hey everyone, how's it going? We got another episode of Survival Guide to Life, and this week we have a very special guest as always, and we'll let her introduce herself. And we'll get right on into it.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Anne Livingston. I'm an author, speaker, storyteller, nomad, mentor, all of the above. And in 2017, I guess the briefest story is that in 2017, at the end of a relationship, I got the intuitive hit. I call it the whisper of my soul that ultimately said, sell your shit and hit the road. And I was living in Chicago at the time and decided to not renew my lease. And left. I sold everything I owned. I left with no car and lived 3 years on the road as an intuitive nomad. I didn't know exactly what that was, but I became an intuitive nomad, ultimately choosing where I was going to go, how long I was going to stay, based off of my intuition, based off of the energy that I felt in Airbnb pictures. And also wrote a book about it. So it's the first book of a 3-book series called Radical Rebirth. And I talk a lot about my dark night of the soul, my spiritual awakening, and the very beginning of my nomadic journey.
So very interesting and unique story. And I wanted to say, what would you say was your spiritual awakening, so to say, and what led up to it?
So there were a few things that kind of led up to it. I was a teacher. So my background is in early childhood education. I was a teacher for 7 years. I taught in Florida and then Texas and then in Chicago. But my first year teaching in Chicago, there were school closures. And so because I didn't have tenure, I lost my teaching career. I became a nanny. And then as I was nannying, I decided to become a coach. And so that was the kind of like the very beginning. I was married at the time. I was in a verbally abusive marriage. I chose to leave that. I entered into another relationship. And in that relationship was when all of my patterns started to kind of come up in my face. It was like this, you know, all these self-sabotaging patterns. And it was a relationship that I really deeply wanted. I was extremely self-aware. I was doing a lot of personal development. I knew what I was doing and why I was doing it. I just couldn't figure out how to stop doing what I was doing. And so I hired a coach at the time. And I kind of started to dabble in spirituality. Like I was reading Gabby Bernstein. I was reading Marianne Williamson. I knew a little bit about A Course in Miracles. And my background is in religion. Like my dad is a retired minister. So I grew up in the church, but I didn't have any connection at all to God. I didn't know what it was. Like, I just didn't have a relationship. And so as my relationship with my partner was beginning to really disintegrate, I finally fell to my knees. Like it's such a cliche thing, right? To be like, I was on my praying to God, but that's what happened. Like I was on my knees in the bathroom, sobbing because my life was falling apart around me and I didn't really know what to do. And I was like, what? The only thing I haven't tried is praying to God. And so the relationship did end up ending. But I made a commitment to myself in that moment that I was not going to get to another relationship until I really healed my patterns. I was severely codependent. I was completely reliant on my partner for my happiness. And so that was really the beginning of what led me in, led me into my spiritual awakening.
Okay. So, you kind of answered a couple of my questions along the along the way, but it's like I always say, and even in my past episodes, like until we ourselves as a person love ourselves fully and we have gotten over or gotten past or come to terms with anything that has been bothering us or that could be a possible projection onto future partners, we won't be able to truly have happiness, as well as we came into this world alone, and like we kind of leave alone, so to say. And even your own shadow leaves you sometimes. So like, not to say use that and not talk to anyone, but just keep that in mind and know that everything is temporary.
It's so true though, because that's ultimately what it was. Like, I had no love for myself whatsoever. And when I was working with my coach at the time, he said, you know, Anne, you're the perfect storm. If you not take charge of your own happiness, you will never be happy. And one thing that he started to work with me on was to find happiness outside of my partner. He would ask me, like, what are the things that bring joy? What are the things that you're passionate about? And the only thing I could think of at that point was music. I wasn't even really tapped into my writing at that point. It was just music. I used to be a musician and I love listening to music. I connect very deeply with it. And so I picked up my violin again and I started playing. I started going out in nature. I started going, you know, to the park and sitting under a tree. I cooked, I pulled out like my knitting needles. You know, it was just like whatever I could do to find little pieces of joy that didn't require my partner. And that was really vital for me. Like, I was already working out. I already had a healthy lifestyle. I then started to incorporate meditation. And this is what I do with my clients too, is, you know, I help them build a body, mind, soul routine, because if you're not taking care of yourself on a holistic level, you're never going to feel complete. And you're always going to look outside of yourself, whether it's a partner, whether it's money, whether it's a job, whether it's social media, you're always going to be searching outside of yourself, trying to find the thing that completes you, and nothing ever can.
Well, you know, that's amazingly well said, because, you know, I myself, like, I've been through certain things, or like, you know, I've been atheist when I was younger, and then certain situations and certain life scenarios made me realize who God, or so to say the universe, whatever you want to call it, is, and understand it. And then now I, you know, practice like Islam, and I'm like I'm a Muslim, but just in aspects of we as people, how everyone is trying to find differences and say this is this and that is that. Why aren't we trying to find all the similarities and things that were similar and come together in harmony? Because in the end of the day, we're the same thing, you know? And that's
what I totally agree. Yeah.
That's what I've been doing with a lot of my friends and a lot of people, and, you know, trying to have a new wave or a new, you know, change in direction, and, you know, come together and understand things so we don't get blocked. Because what it really is control, you could say, over us. And as in, we shouldn't be at our peak performance, because if we are, then we can't be utilized.
Right. It's true. And I mean, connecting to that energy, like you said, God, universe, you know, source, spirit, it doesn't matter what you call that thing. We all experience, when we're really tapped into it, we all experience the same energy. And when you're fully aligned with that, you want for nothing, right? It's like, I had so many moments along my journey where money wasn't coming in, my business was hitting rock bottom, like clients were nowhere to be found. And I was really frustrated, naturally, you know, and I was working with a spiritual coach at the time who just kept saying, you can't want the money. You can't want the money. You can't need the money. I'm like, but I do. Like, I need it for my bills. I need it for food. Like, I need it, you know. And she's like, right. But you can't come at it with that energy, because otherwise you're not going to, like, it's not going to come to you. It will stay away or whatever. And so I had to start finding, again, my happiness in other things. I would go for walks. I would sit under a tree. I was in Mississippi at the time, and my business was completely hitting rock bottom. And the most beautiful spot in small town Mississippi was a cemetery. And so I would just go and walk in the cemetery, and it was obviously very peaceful. And I would sit and I would listen to the birds and pay attention to the winds. And in those moments, I didn't care about the money. I didn't care about the clients. I didn't care about what I didn't have in my life, because I was so connected to, you know, everything that is.
And, you know, if you look at who we consider, you know, the stars, or, you know, like the people who have quote unquote everything, you know, they themselves aren't really happy. And it was exactly what you said, you know, they're always trying to find joy, peace, and tranquility in material things or in substances or people, and they can never find it. And it just turns into a black hole. And yep. That's when they forget themselves, you know? And like, I was talking to this one doctor, her name was Dr. Gamble, and she was a holistic doctor. And she said, you know, what it really is, it's like, we have these psychiatrists who label things, you know, in the DSM, like the mental illness dictionary, then they try to give you medication you don't really need, which rewires your neutrons and the way your brain works, so you're no longer the same person. So like in all aspects, like with GMO food, she said that like changes the proteins that are building blocks for our brain as well. And then when she said that, I was like, wow, it's like this whole war against our, like, it's not like a war against anyone else, it's just a war against our own self.
Yeah, I mean, I feel 100% the same way. And, you know, I have a history of depression. I struggle with anxiety at times. I think those are just normal human emotions. You know, in our society, we depression and anxiety something other than, you know, sadness or frustration or anger or joy, but they're just emotions. And when you understand what depression and anxiety are trying to tell you, then there are natural ways to manage them, which is ultimately what I've done. And so, you know, working out in a way that I manage depression and anxiety, drinking lots of water. I don't drink alcohol pretty much anymore. I would say I have maybe one or two drinks a year, you know, and I was an alcoholic. So along with my codependency, I was also trying to heal my addiction to alcohol. I eat all organic food. I eat a lot of vegetables, a lot of fruit. And what I noticed was that, so I left Chicago in 2017, and the first place I went was Mississippi. And my intention was to be there for 3 weeks to visit a friend. And then my business kind of hit rock bottom. And so I ended up staying for 8 months, which was obviously not like, no one really chooses to hang out in small town Mississippi for 8 months. And from October of 2017 to January of 2018, my income decreased drastically. And I got to the point in January of 2018 where I had no money for food. Like, I was basically eating oatmeal and homemade tortillas out of flour and water. And I noticed that when I was feeding my body that, and like not, you know, not having lots of vegetables, not having lots of fruit, not having lots of nutrient dense food, I had a really hard time tapping into my intuition. And I was like, all right, that's it. So I asked a family member for like $50. I was like, I just need $50. I just need to get some fruit and vegetables in my body. And then I believe that more money will start to come in again once I can really hear my intuition. And it was fascinating to me that like, as soon as I nourished my body again, immediately, it was almost as if my cells started vibrating and I was able to like receive messages again, you know, from the universe. And I was like, all right, never again will I be without nutrient dense food, because it's vital, not just for how my body functions, but it's vital for my business, you know, it's vital for my creativity. And that has been my priority ever since. Like, I will buy organic food before I pay other bills because it is that important to me.
It really is that important, because if you don't, you're just leaving your body exposed to the, what I think is the only thing that causes any type of future ailment or disease or anything along those lines, you know? Yep. And it's sad that that's what it is, but, you know, we just got to come to terms with it and try to do something about it in the best way we can. That's only going to put a positive and a good energy out. Anything else would be nothing we should be a part of. And then, and then what I wanted to say was, you know, that ability to receive messages and be at one. You're familiar with Napoleon Hill, correct?
Yep. Yep. Think and Grow Rich.
Yes. So he actually had a book that was published, I think, like 81 years after his death. It's called Outwitting the Devil. If you get a chance, you should read it. So it's where he interviews, quote unquote, the devil, you know, but like what I say, it's
okay.
It's an energy force. And what he was saying was like, you know, in this interview, I definitely recommend reading it or listening to it. But he says that he likes to keep man or woman, you know, in a state of drifting where you're going from one thing into another, into another, into another, where you're not really doing anything and you're not really utilizing your time, because it's, if you have an enemy or you're playing someone in sport or anything, it's like a battle, right? So we're considered the target. So in any aspect, whether it may be physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, his sole objective is to make you lesser than what you can be. So it's like this war between ourselves, like I said earlier, and just being able to understand it. And I feel like when we have these certain life events or like, you know, partners that, you know, break us down, it's not until then we can like be spiritually aware and see what's going on. I was going to ask, why do you think that is, like, compared to just being in tune with it naturally?
So I love this conversation, because so what some call the devil, or like what the Bible calls the devil, and I do not claim to be a Bible expert at all, but what people call the devil, a lot of spiritual people call ego, right? And the ego is ultimately our human self, right? And so I do talk a lot, and I show very, very vulnerably in my book Radical Rebirth about what my journey looked like of understanding the voice of ego, right? So the way that I see it is that you have your soul and you have ego. Your soul is the light and the ego is the dark. So in this human experience, we really have both. You know, you're going to have the light and the dark because we're human beings. I really view the ego as our inner child. It's our subconscious mind. And so a lot of times we don't have awareness of it. When you start to become aware of that voice, of those limiting beliefs, of, you know, that ongoing dialogue that's like, you can't do that, you're not good enough, you know, who's going to listen to you, no one in your family has ever done it, whatever it may be, it's the negative self-talk, right? And once I started to become aware of that, then I was like, those beliefs are coming from somewhere. And the beliefs are ultimately created between the ages of 0 to 7. That's ultimately when our subconscious mind is created. And so once you start to pay attention to it, then I was like, it's just a scared little girl within me who doesn't understand what's actually true about the world. And so once I started to really realize that, I started to listen to what she had to say. And I did a lot of journaling. I did a lot of meditating. I did a lot of kind of like inner child meditations where I would sit and I would visualize myself. And for me, the main vision that would come forward was me at around 7 years old. And I don't need to know necessarily why age 7 is the year for me, but that's typically when it was coming up for me. And so I started to just really work with her and ultimately teach her. You know, my background is an education. My master's is in early childhood. So I worked with myself the way that I would work with a child. And that's what I started to help my clients with, was, you know, when you, there are a lot of people who try to force themselves to think different thoughts. And it's like, it's basically like trying to force a toddler to do something. A toddler's not going to do what a toddler doesn't want to do, right? The other thing is that if you try to ignore a toddler, you're going to have chaos in your house, right? You're going to have marker on the walls. You're going to have like a diaper torn off. Like, it's going to be complete chaos, but you have to, you know, give that toddler love. You have to set firm, loving boundaries. And the more that you do that and really work diligently with that voice in your head, now I have a really loving, like I've cultivated a really loving relationship with my ego. And she actually has some really good ideas sometimes. So there's a different energy though. There's a different energy between your ego and your soul. And it's ultimately two sides of the same coin. And as you get further along your spiritual journey, you ultimately integrate the ego so that it's just one, but it's a process that you go through.
Yeah. So you're in the same lines and like the same ideology and mentality as me. And it's hard to try to, you know, try to make other people understand, or like you can't really push something down their throat,
right?
But like,
right.
Rather you just have to be the example in every aspect, and then just hope and want that in time they come to that understanding. And another thing which I wanted to ask or just hear your insight is, arrogance is, I would say, the killer of any development, like, you know, whether it be in self-mastery. Like the moment you consider yourself like, okay, I'm something or I'm accomplished, then you kind of challenge the forces against you.
I think, well, I hear what you're saying. I think that, so I don't know, do you know the teacher Matt Kahn at all?
No, please do let me know.
Yeah, Matt Kahn, K-A-H-N, he has some great videos on YouTube, and he talks a lot about the different types of ego. And those of us who are empaths, so those of us who are really in tune with energy and can really feel energy, you know, from others, a lot of times we actually need more ego, not less. Because when we have less ego, then we have really like low self-worth. We have really low self-esteem. And so for those of us who identify as empaths, we actually need like more, I don't know that arrogance is necessarily the word, but we need more confidence. We need to really step up and use our voice more and really own our gifts. And that was definitely something that I had to work hard at. And I'm an Aries, so I'm naturally a leader. I'm naturally independent. I'm naturally outspoken, right? But like, and so I have kind of this natural confidence, but I really had to work hard to cultivate it and to really know that it's okay to show up and say, I'm really good at something. It's okay to show up and say that this is a strength of mine, or that I have a lot of wisdom. Because what was happening was that I was shying away from saying things. And it was like, I was watching all these other people, like, you know, coaches and teachers and mentors and leaders. And I'm like, I have all this wisdom. Why the hell aren't I sharing this? You know? And then it was like, when I would finally have a conversation with someone, they're like, man, you're like really wise. I'm like, I know. But the thing was that like, I wasn't really believing in myself, and I wasn't really putting myself out there, because I was still in the like, well, I should be, you know, I shouldn't be too cocky. I shouldn't be too confident. I shouldn't shine too bright. But there's also that there was that belief that like, I'm too much, right? I'm too much. And so I had to just be like, I'm going to be too much for people. For some people, I'm going to be too much, but for the right people, they're going to want to hear what I have to say. So I've just kind of embodied that instead.
It really is a small world, but I guess I'm correct along the lines where I said, you know, that birds of the same feather flock, mm-hmm. flock together, you know, like your vibe attracts your tribe.
It's true. So, it's true. And like, there are some people that really don't like my personality, because I'm too much for them, right? there are some people I really trigger, but then there are other people that are like, they're like, I love your humor. I love your sass. I love your confidence. I love your fire, you know? And I'm like, then you're my people. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's funny because I'm a Aries too.
Are you?
Yeah, I was born March 25th.
That's so fun. March 20th. So I bring in the season. I thought I was a Pisces my entire life. And then I got my natal chart done. And I was like, what? I'm an Aries. So I like fully embodied it. Yeah.
So, I was just curious. What were the signs of your partners?
My last partner was a Cancer. My ex-husband was a Sagittarius, but he was super in his shadow. My partner before that was a Libra. And then my partner before that was an Aquarius.
Okay. So I was trying to see if it was, you had like a Pisces at all.
No.
Okay, that's good.
No. I mean, Cancer I did really well with. Pisces is like too emotional for me.
Oh, yeah. No.
Emotional and dramatic.
You're right on that aspect.
What about you? What have your partners been?
Now it's going to change, but it was kind of a domino effect of Pisces after Pisces after Pisces after Pisces. And I wasn't even trying to do that.
You weren't learning your lesson, apparently.
Yeah, apparently it took a long time.
I've tried dating Leos and that doesn't work out so well. Cause you know, Aries need to be in the spotlight. And so then dating a Leo, there's a little clash there. Although Aries and Leo understand the need for the spotlight.
Okay. That makes sense. So, you know, a lot of people say, try to dwell in talking about this or understanding this, you know, and mm-hmm. I feel it's a very touchy subject for few, you know what I mean? And yeah. Like you have to, I guess, be careful what you say because, you know, nowadays anything can offend someone. And you know?
Yeah.
And then what causes like the fine line between what spirituality really is or, you know, what people can say is like Luciferianism, you know, because there were kids I could say, like, not many people want to talk about it, but like, I'll touch on it, like, and see what people like. I've, you know, they were trying to practice that during high school, like 10, 15 years ago. And then that's like seeing that was what kind of sparked and understood that there's a light and there's an opposite of that. And there's like an actual, like, you know, positive and negative. There's a yin and a yang in the world.
Yep. So I think it all has to do with intention. I actually just had a conversation with another woman about this because she actually works with the energy of Satan and she works with the energy of Lucifer from what I remember. And I kind of asked a very similar question. I was like, that's pretty taboo. People are going to, you know, especially everything that's going on in the world right now. And she said, well, right. But the thing is, it's all energy. And what matters is the intention that you set when you're working with certain types of energy. And so I can't, like, I'm not going to sit here and say that, like, oh, I definitely, you know, I work with Satan or I work with Lucifer. I don't use labels for that. I will say that I can feel the difference kind of when I was talking about ego, right? I can feel the difference between, let's say when I'm meditating and I'm like blissed out and I'm super connected to like all that is and everything is love and light. And like, I mean, that's one energy and that's an energy that I really enjoy and appreciate. And I can channel all kinds of shit when I'm in that energy. However, when I'm connecting to ego, which some would call Satan, that's our personality. Our personality comes from our ego. And so it's a very different energy. When I'm in ego, I have to be very intentional about, am I saying something or creating something from a triggered space? Am I trying to prove defend, justify, explain, or am I just speaking my truth and I feel very confident about this, right? And sometimes it can come off as, again, like sassy or cocky or full of myself. But sometimes it's just I'm fully embodied in my ego, but it's not, again, it's not coming from a triggered space. I'm not out to like say shitty things to people. It's just, this is my truth and it is what it is. And I'm very bold when it comes to what I believe, you know, and I do trigger people. I know that, but I also know that my intention is always pure. My intention always comes from a place of love. And so intention means more than anything else, in my opinion.
Okay. Yeah, that's really true. So I'm just trying to think more on that. And yeah, even there's a saying in Arabic, it's like, verily action is based on intention, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like when you said that, that's what I was thinking about. And this goes back to me saying we need to find the similarities, because there really is just similarities, and we need to just come on that and get together on that so all of us can be our highest and true self. Because they say we only use, I think, like 10% of our minds, and
it's really, yeah, it's a small amount.
Yeah, so we should be able to have the ability to use 100% of our minds, I feel like.
Yeah, and intention really just means the thoughts and the feelings that back your action, right? So one way that I teach the manifestation process is that it's, you know, everything that we see in our physical world first came from a thought and a feeling. You know, it was like, you think about anything that's created, like the couch that I'm sitting on was first an idea that came from a thought, which then produced a feeling, which then someone took action based on that thought and that feeling. So when it comes to setting intention, the action doesn't really matter at the end of the day. Two people could take the exact same action, but if they have different thoughts and feelings backing those actions, they're going to have different results, which is why in business, I don't condone duplication. I actually started off in network marketing and I was like, I'm not going to duplicate someone else's checklist, because the action doesn't matter if the thoughts and the feelings don't align with it.
You're 100%, like, you know, the hammer on the nail. Like I was just going over like the universal laws, or like, mm-hmm. you know, the laws of the universe. And like one of them were that of what you exactly said, you know, you have to understand that. And if you could just reiterate that, what you just said, one more time, just really quick, just so the audience can understand and hone in on it.
Yeah, I'll try. Basically, so the manifestation process is thoughts, feelings, and action, right? So every action that you take was first a thought and a feeling. And so when it comes to duplicating anything, and I'm really going to talk specifically to you entrepreneurs out there, because a lot of times there's all this comparison, right? You compare yourself to other people and like, what are they doing? How did they do what they did? How are they so successful? The action isn't what made someone successful. It's the thoughts and the feelings that then produced whatever action. So like two people, for instance, could take the exact same action and get different results because their thoughts and their feelings are different. So like if you take an action that doesn't feel good, and not because it's outside of your comfort zone and you're experiencing fear because you've never done it before, but like you're actually feeling resistance in your body. Like, nope, this doesn't feel good. This doesn't feel authentic. You're not going to get the result that you're wanting because your thoughts and your feelings aren't aligning with the action that you're taking.
No, you're 100% correct. And it's where you can think something, but if you don't believe it,
yep,
that's where you're not going to have the forces working on your side. You need to think something so much so that you start believing it. And it's not until you believe it, then you can start attracting it.
Yep. And also, like, thinking, like, in order to create new beliefs, you have to start thinking things that feel good, right? So, like, pay attention to when you're, like, I would say just start off with notice what you're thinking and notice how those thoughts make you feel. So if you're thinking along the lines of, like, I'll never be successful, let's just say, right? You're like, wow, that feels like shit in my body. Well, then what thought feels better? And just start thinking about what thought feels better. Well, you know, maybe like, I am successful. I don't know. I'm just like, these are super basic, but like, maybe that doesn't feel true for you, but what feels more true and what feels better in your body? And you just start working with those over and over and over again. And there's, I mean, lots of things that can go into it, but cause I'm actually not one for like forcing affirmations. Cause a lot of time forcing affirmations doesn't feel, it feels forced, right? So I would say one thing that is actually really has been really helpful for me is creating a visual of my future self. So this is, I do this a lot in my life and with my clients. So you think forward to what, like, who do I want to become? What is the life that I want to be living? And you get that in your imagination first, right? You create that visual and then you feel into, okay, now, how does it feel to live that life? So for instance, when I was still in Chicago, I got that intuitive hit, right? That was like, sell all your shit and hit the road. And I was like, okay. So I first imagined, what does it look like to live a full-time life on the road? I didn't know. I had never done it before, but I just imagined what I thought it would be like. And then I started feeling into, how does it feel? How does it feel to have complete freedom? How does it feel to travel from city to city? How does it feel to stay in a variety of Airbnbs? Felt really good. Okay, so then thinking and feeling in that way, what does that version of myself do? How does she think? How does she feel? What actions does she take? And I just kept doing that over and over and over again. And when you think and feel from the version of your future self, I guarantee you will take different action. But if you're constantly thinking and feeling the same thoughts and feelings, then Joe Dispenza does this work, right? If you keep thinking and feeling the same thoughts and feelings, you're going to keep taking the same action. You're going to keep living the exact same life.
And it really is a small world, because I literally was just doing a live yesterday and I was talking about this, and it was like 15 ways to, you know, to better yourself. And like, one of my biggest influences, or you could say role model, so to say, is Brian Tracy, as in his ideology and his methodology is very effective, because he studied success and what successful people do. And there's this book, if you haven't read it, it's called Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. And in that, he over and over iterates this, and like, you know, like, you have to tell yourself this in the mind, and you can control, like, just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to dwell in it or believe it. You can choose to change that thought with the other thought, you know, and focus on that. So as we just come towards the end, how can you say or tell anyone who's listening how they can connect with you, or how they can reach out to you, whether it be for coaching or to get yourself on their shows or whatever it may be? What are your social handles?
Yep. So my social handles are And the Nomad, A-N-N-E, And the Nomad. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. And then you can also reach me on my website, andlivingstonecoaching.com.
Okay. And then what is your book and how can they find it?
My book is called Radical Rebirth, Dismantling the Illusion and Surrendering to the Whisper, and it's available on Amazon.
Okay, and then when you send me the link, as soon as you said that, I'll have that drop down below you.
Awesome, cool.
Okay, and then if I myself, I'm going to go ahead and read your book. And then maybe we'll see I feel like, you know, everything happens for a reason. And then that's why it was kind of like hard, or it was kind of working against, like, even us talking, was because, you know, I was like having so many issues, but it kind of makes sense. So I was like, maybe we have another episode and see, we touch base and just talk, you know, we could, before in the world they had what was called pen pals, we'll call it Zoom pals and start a new thing.
Sounds good.
Okay, thanks again, and talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Have a great rest of your week.
You too. Bye.
Bye.